Well, as we charge forward toward the holiday season, it may be especially a difficult time of year for those of you who recently lost a loved one, a parent, a spouse, a sibling, or God comfort you, a son or daughter. And whether your loved one died in this calendar year or earlier, bittersweet memories of the departed tend to come back around Christmas, Hanukkah, and New Year's as we remember past holiday celebrations in their presence. But to help lighten your spirits over the holidays, I've invited a guest who is no stranger to the presence of death and dying. My guest, Margot Lenmark, grew up in her family's Midwestern funeral home and is, in fact, an undertaker's daughter. But here's the good news. Margot is here to tell us how she learned that death is not the end. In fact, folks who have passed away have given her and can give you and me lessons about how to live. And here's a worthy goal. Let's spend the holiday season every day of the year celebrating the lives of departed loved ones rather than mourning their deaths while opening ourselves to learn valuable lessons along the way. And in fact, Margot Lenmark has written a brand new book on the subject of death and life lessons. It's titled Life in the Morning, Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter. And by the way, the title is spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, not the morning time of the day. And here's Margot's bio. She was born in northern Wisconsin and has journeyed far from her Midwestern roots for an exciting and fulfilling life in service to others, has taught stress management to executives of major U.S. corporations, including General Motors and McDonnell Douglas, also has taught meditation to individuals and groups as far away as Egypt, India, and the Philippines, and she's taught yoga to those seeking health and relaxation close to her present North Carolina home, and she's a former top salesperson for Books Are Fun, and subsequently started and managed an alternative health center in Palm Beach, Florida. And her current day job is a successful real estate broker in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Western North Carolina. And hello, Margot Lenmark. It's great to have you with us during this sentimental time of the year.
Thank you, Roy. It's really nice to be here.
Well, let's begin with your background. You grew up as an undertaker's daughter in Wisconsin. What funeral responsibilities, if any, did you share growing up? And did you actually reside in the funeral parlor? Did you attend many funerals? And what was it like living daily in the presence of death and mourning?
No, we did not grow up in the funeral home, but I visited the funeral home a lot because I would go there after school. My father would give me a ride home and things like that. So I was around death and grieving a lot. But I really developed, I think, quite a perspective on death from that. And when I got older, it had a really good effect on me when people around me started to die.
Yeah, you tell us that your life growing up was anything but morbid, and observing your cheerful demeanor and your accomplishment-filled career in marketing and instruction, you certainly don't appear to be the laid-back product of a funeral parlor upbringing. What do you credit your vibrant enthusiasm for being alive?
Well, a couple of things. One is the DNA from my parents. They were very lively people.
Business then.
Well, when you read the book, you'll see. Yeah, exactly. You'll see from my father, he was really deep, wonderful, compassionate man.
He was
the one you wanted to talk to if somebody died. He had the ability to really help people through that deep grieving process that they were going through.
That is such a talent that the really accomplished undertakers and funeral parlor managers have, I think, that so many lack. Is that
exactly.
Deep understanding, and you know they're not faking it and whispering around you.
Right, right. He really had the gift, and that's why he was such a good funeral director. And I really learned my compassion from him for sure.
Well, in your book's promotion, you inform us that you learned growing up that death is not the end and that death can actually teach us how to live better lives. Can you cite a couple of examples of lessons you were taught by the recently departed souls whose body were passing through your dad's funeral parlor?
Well, the lessons that I learned were from people that I knew. I didn't learn these lessons from the people I didn't know. But the lessons, it's really interesting because the people that have been very close to me who have died have left me very clear messages about life and how to live. And isn't that just what we want, is for people to come back and tell us what's important about life? Well, these people did. Yeah, and so I learned really important lessons about resolving things in life. Like from my mother, I learned the lesson of resolve. And because of her, I have kept every relationship resolved ever since then. I will do whatever it takes to make sure that there's not a misunderstanding between me and somebody else, because I'm very aware that I may never see that person again. Yeah. That person could die or I could die, and I don't want to live with regret. And that was really a very, very important lesson that I learned from my mother. And so I don't have regrets. I have all my relationships nice and neatly resolved. There's nothing going on that needs to be taken care of between us. Mm. So I kind of use death as an advisor. It sits on my shoulder telling me how to live life and to make sure that I'm living it really, really well with that person right now in the moment.
Well, that's a great way to put it. Death is on your shoulder, but it's not a burden.
No, not at all. No, it's just a reminder to really live well in the moment with the people that you are with.
Well, you have a chapter in your book titled A Worse Pain Than Death. Pray tell, what is this horrendous pain, and what, if anything, can you and I do to avoid it?
Well, that's the chapter I'm talking about. A worse pain than death is regret. The regret of knowing that you can't go back to that person and tell them that thing you wish you would have told them.
Yeah,
you can't go back to that person and resolve that situation. That is the pain worse than death. And I learned that with my mother, because I had resolved my relationship with my mother right before she died. It's quite an interesting story. When she did die, I cried really hard for about 15 minutes, and I never cried again because I didn't have that terrible regret that, oh, my God, I can't tell her I love her. I can't tell her I'm sorry for that thing that happened. That is a pain worse than death. It really is, because it'll haunt you after they die if you don't have it resolved with them before they die.
Well, here's a really tough question. In one of your book's testimonials, that noted author Deepak Chopra, MD, notes that life is the continuum of birth and death eternally and now. From your experience with the recently departed, did you observe evidence of eternal life? And can we expect to receive messages from beyond?
Here's the thing. You know, his quote is so powerful. Life is not the opposite of death. It is birth and death that are opposites. It's because when you're born, you come into the body. When you die, you drop your body, you leave it. So there's something that continues on, which I'm calling consciousness and life. And so life is that continuum of birth and death eternally. And I do have story after story of that in my book, of how I either contacted people after they died or they contacted me. But there's evidence in my book through these stories that life does go on after the body is gone. And that's what's reassuring to me, and it's what's reassuring about the book, and that's why there is light in the morning, because I have a chapter in there on grief, and if you really grieve well, you grieve properly, I don't know what will come out of that for you, but what came out of it for me were these lessons from people. They had to do with our life together on earth. And after they died, I got a very important message from them about life. Yeah, it was really powerful. And so the book is not a depressing book at all. It's a very, I think, enlightening book. It brings light to people to know that there's life after death.
Well, let's say a loved one is very old and infirm or in the final stages of an incurable disease. Can you recommend the best way for us to prepare mentally for our loved one's imminent departure? Is there any way to prepare yourself in advance so that the actual departure becomes less painful? Or can you really prepare for that?
I don't know that you can actually prepare for it, but there is one thing I can tell you for sure, is really be with that person. What happens when people get very old, and this just happened to me recently, a friend of mine's mother died. Yeah. And right before she died, my friend said, "Don't go see my mother. She's delusional, and it's going to really create confusion in her." Yeah. My friends who did go to see her found that she was in this space, which I'm now calling this God space. I think it's a space that she was in between life and death. She was almost gone, but she was still alive. And she knew things. She told my friends why she was here on the earth. And she gave them really good advice. And I think that we should really pay attention to people when they're dying, because I think they're in this beautiful space between life and death, and we can gain a lot from them when they're in that space.
Well, here's a loaded question. Have you or your folks received any clear messages from beyond confirming the presence of heaven and hell? And is it possible to receive a message from a departed loved one telling us that they're doing extremely well and they're experiencing eternal bliss? Or how about mournful messages from the other side warning about the agonies of hell?
I've never gotten any message about hell, but I have gotten clear messages of people, because I've found them after they've died. I've been in communication with them after they've died, and they're doing extremely well. And it's really beautiful when you can have that experience. And that's how I know that life goes on after you die, because I have been in communication with them. It's in the book. It's a story in the book.
Yeah.
There's several stories in the book.
Yeah, we had a similar experience with the. Let me ask you about this. Our precious daughter, adult daughter Kristen, died in a plane crash on New Year's Eve 2006. And over the next several months, my wife and I received several messages from her, misplaced items that mysteriously turned up, a string of lights, and a kind friend who overheard our daughter Kristen proclaim, "I'm fine," and she chuckled just the way she always did in life. However,
yes,
since that time, we've received no further signs. From your experience, is it common for departed souls to tie up loose ends on Earth shortly after departure, especially if their death was sudden and unexpected?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what happened to me, Roy. People left me really, they got in touch with me after they died, but then there came a time when they didn't anymore.
Yeah.
And I think they're around to let you know that they're okay, so that they're there to comfort you and let you know that. But then they move on, and I believe they do.
Yeah.
And they're fine.
That's exactly what we've had comfort ever since then, because we knew that that voice that woman quoted at the craft fair we were at sounded just exactly like Kristen, and she had been communicating with her, so.
Yes, exactly. I've had many of those experiences, and it's really reassuring, and it just brings joy to your heart, because you know for sure that that was that person, and you know for sure they're okay and that they told you that. And so it's so wonderful when that happens. I'm glad you had that experience.
Yeah, well, let's talk about your new book, Light in the Morning, Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter. What prompted you to take time away from your busy life as a successful real estate broker to write this book about death, grieving, and the departed's journey to the other side?
What prompted me was about 22 years ago, when I told somebody about the experience of my father dying, they said to me after I told them the story, "You have got to write that in a book. That is really important. People need to know that."
Yeah.
And I told her at the time, I said, "I'm not writing a book. You just asked me and I told you, you know."
Yeah.
But then when my brother died, in 2006, also, Roy, the same year as your daughter, and I'm so sorry to hear that. But when he died, I just thought, I've got to write this book. And I thought, whatever comes out of this book will be my living memorial to my brother, because I had big questions all over again. Like, what if it's not true what I believe? What if I don't see him again? So I was really grieving, and I thought whatever comes out of this will be my memorial to my brother. And so that's what prompted me to write the book. And it took 12 years to write because I was busy, and it's not easy to write a book when you haven't written
one.
If
there was one message you would like readers to take away from your book, what would it be?
That our loved ones do not die. They do not die. They are with us.
Yeah. Where should the best place for listeners to go to preview and purchase your book? I'm sure a lot of people.
Yeah, they can. Thank you. They can go on Amazon, and there's two books called Light in the Morning. Mine is Light in the Morning, MOURNING,
yeah.
Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter.
Yeah. And they just look for your name.
Yep, Margot Lenmark. Yep, yeah. They can look for my name and they'll find the book, and I hope they do, and I really hope it brings light to their morning. If they're not grieving, they will still get a whole bunch out of it. A lot of people bought the book and have called me and said, oh my God, I love your book. It did so much for me. It clarified things for me. So you don't even have to be grieving to enjoy the book, I think, because it's really, really great lessons for life.
So they should go to Amazon then to purchase your book. Do you have any kind of a way for somebody to contact you if they want to do
Yes. Yeah, they certainly can. I also have a website. It's called www.lightinthemorning.com.
Cool.
And they can email me. They can look. They can Google me and call me. Other people have. I've had people write me letters. So, yeah, you can find me.
Okay.
Google my name and you'll find my number.
Or if you want to buy a home in your beautiful area of Western North Carolina, I guess we could.
Yeah, Google me again. I'm a realtor.
Yeah. Well, as the old saying goes, only two things are certain in life, and that's death and taxes. And I can't help you with taxes, but at least
that's
they
right.
aren't due until April. And as for death, the loss of loved ones can be painful, mostly because we've lost the face-to-face contact with departed loved ones. But on the other side of the coin, every departing soul leaves behind important messages for the living, as Margot has pointed out, and it's up to each one of us to grasp those messages and then to live life to the fullest in service to others, to pass it on and grieve as long as you need to, but then move on to a productive remainder of life. Because that, for certain, is what your departed loved one would want you to do. I'm sure nobody who's passed on would want their former spouse or former daughter or whatever your relationship is to grieve through the rest of their lives, because that doesn't really serve anyone, including the
right.
departed.
Exactly.
So, Margot's inspiring new book, Light in the Morning, will help point out the way. And thanks so much, Margot Lenmark, for joining us here today. And best of success in your new book.
Thank you so much, Roy. I've really enjoyed this talk.
And thank you so much for being here. And keep that in mind that as you celebrate the holidays, that it was wonderful having your relatives there. By the way, have you ever heard, I've heard that we had a guest a couple of years ago that said departed loved ones often like to visit their former families during the holiday season. Should we anticipate maybe someone dropping in?
You never know. You know, I don't think we have control over that. I
no,
certainly don't.
No.
I would love it if they dropped in, but after a while, they don't come back to me anymore. So,
yeah, that's the same experience.
It's not to say they won't.
Yeah. Well, we'll see them all someday anyway. And thank you
yes.
so much, Margo. Have a wonderful
thank you, Roy.
Holiday season and best of success with your book. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much.